and welcome to this short time of worship. If I can just remind you that the daffodil tea takes place at the end of the service, and of course everyone is invited to that. Also, tomorrow night's Holy Week service will be held here in Livingston at 6:30 p.m. Thursday, it's the joint Maundy-Thursday communion service, and that's held in Ardeer, and it's at a different time. It's at 7 p.m. And then on Good Friday service is back here in Livingston, and again, we're back to a 6:30 start. On the Tuesday of Holy Week, Jesus preached and taught in Jerusalem from early morning till late at night. When the sun went down on the Tuesday, his earthly teaching was done. We begin our service singing the first hymn in the sheet from Songs of God's People, Lord Jesus Christ, You Have Come to Us. Let's come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, we come before you this Tuesday evening of Holy Week with praise and thanksgiving for all your gifts. Lord, at this time when we contemplate the final week of Jesus' life, we offer you our greatest thanks for sending him to live an earthly life. Father, we know Christ in that earthly life, like us, would experience the ups and downs, the good and the bad of daily living. We know that during his lifetime, not just during Holy Week, he had to endure criticism, ridicule, hatred, and in the end, death itself. Yet, Lord, he faced and accepted all of this because of his faith, trust, and love of you. Lord, may we follow his example, and when life gets difficult and our faith is truly tested, We ask that you will make us ever conscious of your love and your closeness to us. Lord, we pray tonight for those who still in this day and age face persecution, torture, and death for professing to be Christian. Loving God, we pray that you will work in the hearts and minds of men and women throughout the world to develop cooperation and understanding to make this a more loving and caring world. This is especially true, Lord, today, and we place before you those killed, injured, or affected by today's atrocities in Brussels. We take time to pray for others who need your love right now. The refugee, the homeless, those who live in constant fear of persecution or attack. We pray for the sick, the dying, and all those in any kind of need. Lord God, whose arms were stretched out upon the cross as if to embrace the world in love, we ask that we might this night be aware of your loving arms around us. This we ask in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Saviour, and unite our hearts and minds in offering the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All the readings tonight come from Matthew's Gospel. And I've got to confess that they're a wee bit different from what appears in the sheet because I made the sheet up long before I actually wrote this. But all of them still come from Matthew's Gospel. So the first reading is from Matthew chapter 21, and we read from verse 28. Now, what do you think? There was once a man who had two sons. He went to the elder one and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." "I don't want to," he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. "Yes, sir," he answered. But he did not go. Which one of the two did what the father wanted? "The elder one," they answered. So Jesus said to them, "I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John the Baptist came to you, showing you the right path to take, and you would not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. Even when you saw this, you did not later change your minds and believe him." And then the second reading comes from chapter 22. That's a very brief reading. We read from verse 37. And these are words that Jesus spoke when the Pharisees were questioning him as to what was the greatest commandment. Jesus answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the most important commandment. The second most important commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. The whole law of Moses and the teaching of the prophets depend on these two commandments." And then the final reading is from Matthew chapter 23, and we read from verse 27. "How terrible for you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look fine on the outside, but are full of bones and decaying corpses on the inside. In the same way, on the outside you appear good to everybody, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and sins." Amen. And may God add his blessing to these readings from his word, and to his name be the praise and the glory. Our second hymn, again from Songs of God's People, "Colours of Day." As I said at the beginning, the Tuesday of Holy Week was a very busy day for Jesus. He preached and taught from early in the morning until late in the evening. And of course, when the sun went down on that day, his earthly teaching was done. On that Tuesday, he was telling his listeners basically, you have one life, don't waste it. Everyone has talents, he was saying, some more than others, but don't waste them. Use your talents for good. He knew by this point that his physical life was almost over, and he was leaving final words for his followers then and for his followers through the ages right down to ourselves. To make his point, he told various parables. He told the parable of the talents. He told the parable of the 10 maidens. He prophesied about his second coming. He talked about the greatest commandment and also about the sign of the times. It was quite a contrast on the Tuesday as against the Palm Sunday. No longer crowds cheering and lining the streets. Now it would be true to say that on this Tuesday the people were there to listen to him. And it would also be true to say that it was almost a classroom. Again, as I said earlier, he was preparing for his arrest, his trial, and his execution. And knowing that his death was imminent, he took some time to teach some important life lessons. I suppose lesson number one was that character counts. This was illustrated in the parable of the two sons. Son number one said no to his father, then changed his mind and obeyed. Son number two said yes to his father, then lied and abandoned him. Jesus was telling the people listening that number one son was like the tax collectors or the sinners who had repented and found God. Even the thief on the cross that he would meet later on in the week came into that category. Son number two was the religious leaders, the Pharisees, people who live a lie to God. A life lesson is there for us all. As the words of a fairly well-known song says, it isn't how we start, but how we finish. Each of us in our life has come across what I tend to call a good promiser, but a poor deliverer. Very often, Christians can burn out. They drop out of church life and they fall away. Even those of us who stay on course can become a bit disheartened at times in serving God. At times like this, we need to be like the best sportsmen and women, and we need to find our second wind. When life gets tough, we need to not give up, but rather to turn to God for help, and to help us break through our difficulties, where we can recapture our energy and enthusiasm in being a Christian. Character counts. It counts with God, and it counts with others. If we go ahead to the Friday of Holy Week, when Jesus dies, and the soldier standing by the side of the cross, someone who had never ever met Jesus in his life before turns round and says, truly, this man was the Son of God. Why did he say that? He said it because Christ's character had shone through. Can other people look at us and say, truly, he or she is a Christian, a follower of Jesus? because it shines through in our character. Character cannot be faked. In his teachings on that Tuesday, Jesus pointedly criticizes the Pharisees, telling them that they are like whitewashed tombs, things that look good on the outside, but are full of things that are considered unclean. He tells them that they appear good, God-loving people on the outside, but inside, they're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. It's not what's on the outside that counts, it's what's on the inside. The Bible tells us that man looks on the outward appearances, but God looks at the heart. All the outward show in the world will not save us. Other people's opinions of us will not save us. The only thing that will save us is having a heart and a mind that truly tries every day to serve God and help others in whatever way is necessary in order to improve their life. We can fool some of the people all of the time, or all of the people some of the time, but we can't fool God any of the time. Again, the Bible tells us that there's a day of reckoning for everyone, even the Christians. Our outside persona is not what will help us here. Rather, it's what's on our inside persona. And it's rather what our inside persona says about the kind of person we've been. We've all read at school or elsewhere, and we've all read or heard about famous individuals whose love for the Lord and for others have motivated them to do good works. Well, we may not be these characters that school boys and girls of the future will read about, but that shouldn't stop us reflecting and asking ourselves, what does our love of God motivate us to do? And of course, the emphasis must surely be on the do part. What do we as Christians do to help our fellow man? Not just those that are in need, but to help everyone. We need to guard against simply reading or thinking or being aware about good works. If we don't see following Christ as something to spur us into action, then we risk becoming one of the people that Jesus spoke about in his Tuesday classroom. In other words, we risk becoming someone who started in faith but didn't quite get to fully finish in their serving of Christ. Let us then heed the lessons given by Jesus in his last time of teaching during his earthly life. And let us, not simply during Holy Week, but rather every day, be of good Christian character, outside and in, ever ready to serve and work for him in whatever way he directs us. Let us pray. Lord God, who made the cross the tree of life, give its fruits to those who try to follow you. Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross you forgave the repentant thief. Forgive us our sins. God of love, our prayer is simple. Your Son Jesus suffered and died for us. We know we cannot have real character unless we rely on you. We cannot feel protected from our many weaknesses until we turn to you for forgiveness and unalterable love. Help us to share this strength, protection, and love with others. For Jesus' sake, amen. We close our service singing another hymn from Songs of God's People, "The Spirit Lives to Set Us Free." May we go from this time of worship ready to listen to the teachings of Christ, ready to act on the teachings of Christ, ready to bring others to a fuller understanding of Christ, his death and glorious resurrection. And may we and those whom we hold dear be embraced in the love of Christ this Easter time and always. Amen.